I'm going to begin reading in verse number 8 of 2 Kings chapter 2. This is the day of Elijah's homegoing. It was somewhat a dramatic departure. But before he leaves, verse 8 tells us, "And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? When he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him." I'd like to use this portion of Scripture and what it suggests in this gospel age in which we live and preach for a few minutes on yearning for the Spirit's fullness. Now, I'm aware that we often use the language claim the Spirit's fullness. Or appropriate the Spirit's fullness. And I like those terms and use them readily. However, if we have no desire for His fullness, we'll never even claim or appropriate. And so I'm addressing this matter of yearning, for the Spirit's fullness. Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. I read where a visitor came to Niagara Falls and said upon leaving, This is the greatest unused power in all the world. Well, that in many ways may be true, but from a spiritual vantage point, I believe the Holy Spirit's power is probably the most unused power in this life. To illustrate the need of the Spirit's fullness, D.L. Moody took a glass of an empty glass, just a glass full of air, and asked his congregation, How can I remove the air in this glass? One man very quickly responded, "Well, you need to suck all the air out with a pump." Mr. Moody said, "But that would create a vacuum, and it would shatter the glass." A few other recommendations were given, and finally Moody said, "Let me show you how to get the air out of this glass." And he poured water into the glass, and he said, "Now all the air has been removed." He went on to point out that Christian victory is not experienced by trying to suck out sin by sin, here and there, but by being filled with the person and power of the blessed Holy Spirit. And so for a few moments, let's contemplate Elisha's yearning to have a double portion. Perron, in his comments about the text, suggests that when Elisha prayed for a double portion, that it was not necessarily twice as much as Elijah had. But he's saying, "I want my life to be dominated with what is evident in your life." Of course, we know that it is interesting that Elisha performed twice as many miracles as Elijah. So in some ways we might say he did have twice as much, or a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. And he said, "I want a double portion of thy spirit." Now that might pose some question for some. Thy spirit. Of course, we know that the empowerment in the life of Elijah was not his own personality, but it was the power of the Spirit of God. And so we would take this in different ways. We could say that when he said, "I want thy spirit," that the Holy Spirit was Elijah's spirit, in that he was in his life. Or we might say the Holy Spirit was Elijah's spirit, because the characteristics of Elijah's ministry were definitely divine traits, spiritual traits. At any rate, Elisha is yearning for the fullness of God in his life. And as I drove in last night, the Lord seemed to impress upon my heart to encourage some of us. I'm aware all of us may not fit in this category this morning. God deals with us about different truths at different times. But it's my assignment encourage someone, maybe several, to yearn, to long for the fullness of the Spirit of God. I'd like to begin by saying, in that Elisha said, "Let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." Firstly, we recognize a needful realization. Elisha realized the importance of the Spirit's fullness. Now, no doubt he recognized and realized the importance and this need of the Holy Spirit because of what he had witnessed in the life of Elijah. Or perhaps by looking at his own inadequacies. But there was a needful realization. If you feel like you can handle the ministry on your own, you'll never know the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But if you realize the importance of this truth, you began to cry out to the Lord for His power and His fullness. I believe I've met people who served in religious circles and even performed in religious positions and had never felt their need for the enablement and the endowment of the Spirit of God. Blessed is that individual who comes to grips early on that without Him I can do nothing. And so Elisha certainly faced this needful realization. He realized the need, the importance of the Spirit's fullness. I think as well that he realized the imperativeness of the Spirit's fullness. It isn't just that the Holy Spirit is an important person and that He has a vital role to play. But the truth is, in our deficiencies and with our limitations, His ministry is essential. We're involved in spiritual capacities, spiritual ministry. And in ourselves, we are only equipped for the natural, for the carnal. The Spirit of Jesus must, it's essential. His ministry is imperative. He must work through us if anything is accomplished of a divine nature. Oh, I know we can learn how to operate, you know, and go through the 1, 2, 3s. But he eventually leads to utter boredom in the Christian life and in the Christian ministry. Yearning for the Spirit of God and His fullness in our lives is a realization of His importance and the imperativeness of His fullness in us. May the Spirit of God Himself indelibly write this need, this must in our hearts. I so admire what goes on at this school that I pray constantly that each student will get the full benefit of Fruitland. But I'm aware it's possible to pick up tidbits of information in one class, tidbits of information in another class, information in yet another class, and try to put that information into action. But it's nothing but dead orthodoxy apart from the anointing Spirit. He is direly needed. May God help us. Could I ask you this morning, is what you and I are doing something that we could keep doing if there were no Holy Spirit in the world? Or do we sense the imperativeness of His fullness? As Elisha looked at the task before him, and now him being exalted to the headship of the prophets, he says, Elijah, I'm going to have a double portion of thy Spirit. I want you to notice a second truth this morning. Not only are we made aware of the needful realization, it's definitely needful to realize how we need Him. But secondly, notice, if you will, the noble request for the Spirit's fullness. Elisha didn't just say to himself, well, I hope maybe something unusual will happen in my life, and that I'll be advanced beyond my limitations. No, Elijah said to this seeking heart who would not stay from following him. He had followed him to Gilgal. He had followed him to Bethel. He had followed him to Jericho. He had followed him to the Jordan. And he said, I'm not going to leave thee, Elijah. And Elijah said, well, what would you ask of me before I depart? And Elisha said, notice this is a request, a noble request. I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now, this is a petition. I can't help but think of what Jesus said. He said, if ye give your children bread instead of stones when they ask for bread, how much more shall my Father give the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to them who ask Him? It's not just automatic. You don't just wake up one morning full of the Spirit of God. And I'm aware, there are those who emphasize that when you were saved, you were filled. But the book of Acts indicates believers were filled again and again. And the truth is, it's noble. It's good to ask for the Spirit's fullness. I'm going to use this word. Elisha's request was a request of humility. I don't believe he was trying to get something to show off, do you? It isn't that he wanted the younger prophets to say, good night, Elisha has the spirit of Elijah upon him. No, that was not his goal. His goal was to know God, to experience God. Of course, the brethren did see the power of Elijah in his life, didn't they? But he gives this humble request. He said, Elijah, looking out at what's in front of me and knowing my own deficiencies, it's going to take a double portion of thy spirit. It's a request of humility. It's not wrong to ask God to fill you with His Spirit. It's submitting to the command. And be ye filled with the Spirit. It's obeying God's authoritative statement. And so Elisha humbled himself. I don't know about you, but I'm bad not to want to ask anybody for anything. I know I got it from my daddy. I have to work on it constantly. I got a lot of things from my daddy. But I don't like to ask anybody. But I want to tell you, God's fixed it up. If we want Him to answer our prayers, we're going to have to do more than just go to telling God. We're going to have to ask. A noble request. It was a request of humility. But hold it. It was also a request of hope. Elisha has hope for the future, even though Elijah is going away. He has hope in that the fullness of the Spirit in Elijah's life will be poured out upon his life. I think of our graduates and what you're going to face in these years before you. And I'm not here to paint a picture of gloom and doom. There's enough folks on that wagon without me getting on it. It's about ready to throw a wheel now. But I will say this, in many ways, I'm somewhat glad that my ministry is sort of on the downhill pull. I've faced some things the last 4 or 5 years I never would have dreamed I would have faced at all in the ministry. And there are all kinds of confrontations that you're going to have in the ministry that some of us older preachers have never had. I don't envy that. Of course, I know some of y'all are ready for the battle. Well, let me at it. I tell you, if anybody could ever show people how to do it, I'm the one. No. I want to tell you there is hope in effective ministry. There is hope in successful ministry. Not just following the patterns of men. We certainly want to get advice and input. But oh, how we must have the fullness of the Spirit of God. That's our hope. That's our hope. In fact, the further I go in the ministry, the more I realize if anything is accomplished that is of spiritual value and is God-like and Christ-like in its nature, then the Spirit of God must do it. There's nothing in me to accomplish it. So his hope, he's humble in asking, but he's hopeful in that this will be his equipment for the future. Again, I say to you, get all the education you can. And get all the help you can get. But don't forget to ask, Lord, I need to be filled with thy Spirit. Please fill me with thy Spirit that I might be a part of divine ministry. There's one further emphasis I would give this morning. Not only are we made aware of the needful realization, we must realize his importance in ministry, and we must realize the imperativeness of his fullness in ministry. And not only do we have the noble request, Elisha asked in humility, but he asked in hope. Notice lastly, the notable reality of the Spirit's fullness in his life. Elijah has gone to heaven and the mantle has fallen to the ground and Elisha has taken it up. I'm not going to deal with the mantle. But the mantle is a wonderful type of the blessed Holy Spirit. One great feature is that the mantle, that it was like an outer garment. And the person who had the mantle was near the mantle and the mantle near them at all times. Similarly, the blessed Holy Spirit is near us at all times. We have someone with us, living in us. The mantle has come. And the mantle could keep someone cool in the warm weather and keep someone warm in the cold weather. Oh, there are spiritual situations where you think you're going to have a heat stroke and the Holy Spirit cools you off, settles you down. And then there are times when you think you're going into a deep freeze and you'll not make it through that facet of ministry, but the Holy Spirit keeps you warm in the cold times. Also, the mantle would be wrapped up around the head of the traveler when the sandstorms were stirred up in the desert. It would keep the sand out of their eyes in the time of the storm. Oh, the blessed Holy Spirit is here to comfort us and to aid us in the storms of life. When they're too much for us, he's here to help us and to assist us. He's like the mantle. And Elijah in many ways is like Christ, who has ascended back to heaven. But Elisha is representative of the church, who is here to receive his spirit. And he took the mantle that fell upon him, verse 4, and he smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. The notable reality is manifest to Elisha. Could I say the fullness of the Spirit is something that we ourselves will know about? We'll know that we're no longer operating in our energies. We're no longer functioning with our mere talents. The Spirit of God is taking us beyond ourselves. It is not only a reality to ourselves, but the Spirit's fullness is a reality to others. Here we have these young preachers in the school of the prophets. They're called the sons of the prophets. And they looked at Elisha as he smote the Jordan and came back across. And they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." Boy, I tell you, he's not the same fellow he was when he went across the Jordan. He has another force. He has another power. He has another strength. Forgive me for maybe stretching the type. But to me, there's a beautiful picture of how the Spirit of God, the mantle, would take us out of our world over into Christ's world, just like Elisha was brought across the Jordan with Elijah. Then Elijah was called up to heaven. But that same mantle that had been used to bring Elisha out of his world over into Elijah's world was used in reverse to bring Elisha out of the spiritual world back into the mundane, into the worldly environment. The picture is this: only the Holy Spirit can take us out of our world into God's world and then fill us with Himself and bring us back out of the spiritual world into this world around us and impact the society around us. Others recognize the Spirit's fullness upon Elisha, yearning for the Spirit's fullness. I gave that illustration earlier about D.L. Moody, a little poem that intrigues me, reads like this. Someone wrote, "This is the secret of the holy. Not our holiness, but Him. Jesus, empty us and fill us with Thy fullness to the brim." Oh, may our hearts yearn for the Holy Spirit's fullness. There'll have to be a necessary, essential realization. His ministry is vitally important. It's imperative to be filled with the Spirit. There'll have to be a noble request. "Lord, fill me with Thy Spirit. Empty me of self and fill me with Thy Spirit." And then there will be a notable reality in our lives that He has filled us with Himself. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, you're standing to your feet. Our president is coming to